I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we're going to take a look at the same passage in the Amplified here. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed, by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. One of the things that we can see clearly here from this passage of Scripture is that it is God's will for us, well, underline there, it is God's will for us to be changed, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We've got a choice. It's like a fork in the road. You can either conform to this world, other translations say to the pattern of this world, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is talking to Christians. This is talking to people who are new creations in Christ Jesus. This is talking to people who have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. We, as believers, have this choice in terms of what we do with our mind. The mind can look like the world, even though you're a child of God on the inside, or your mind can actually line up with what God's Word says and have a transforming effect in our life. But we see the bottom line here is that God's desire for us is to change and to be transformed, changing the way we think. Here, Galatians 4:19 puts it this way. It says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. We see that there's a change that God has in store for us. He has designed for us. And let me just put it this way. It's not just change for change's sake. The change that God wants to do in us, in our minds, and change the way we think, have a direct, important impact on our lives. Okay? And I've just kind of noticed this in my own life, just as I've been, you know, just growing up in the Lord spiritually and going through life. A lot of times you can look at your life and look at areas of your life that you'd like to see change. You know, it could be you want to see a change in your finances, a change in a relationship you have. Could be with your spouse, with your children, with a friend. You might want to see a change in things, you know. And it can be very frustrated sometimes because it's like, okay, you know, here I am. I want all this stuff. Lord, I want this to change. I want, you know, that situation to change. I want to stay the same, but I want all these things to change. And year after year, we stay the same. We fight to stay the same. And the things that we really want changed don't change. And after a while, we kind of got to connect the dots here and realize that God's will and desire for us to change has a part to play in the other changes we want to see. You know, we're waiting for other things and people to line up, and God's waiting for us to change and line up with His Word in some areas. And when we begin to make some adjustments of change in our life, it will be a catalyst for other things to change. So change. Change is so important, and yet change, I understand, it takes humility to change. It takes humility to stop and think, have I been wrong all this time? Or could I do things better? Doesn't always necessarily mean right or wrong. Is there a better way of doing something? It's humbling to think, wow, so for the last 14 years, I could have done that better? Yeah. But, when you come to those places and you're willing to say, okay, what did you say in your word, Lord? I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I talk. because I know that staying the same hasn't worked. So I know that change, there must be something to this thing of change. I love just a couple of verses of a song. It goes, in the things familiar, we find security. Resisting all the changes that days and years can bring. When God decides to lead you to an open door, inviting you to walk in realms you've never known before. Beyond the open door is a new and fresh anointing. Hear the Spirit calling you to go. Walk on through the door, for the Lord will go before you into a greater power than you have ever known before. I think that is really telling, too, because a lot of times, as we're also praying for change and direction and opportunity in our life, sometimes when we're resisting these other changes, maybe areas that God's dealing with us, it can close our eyes to some of the opportunities and the things that God wants to do in our life. It's just human nature, I'll just say, to want to resist that change. But we got to realize as believers, as Christians, we are in a continual state of change. We are in a continual state of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. So this morning I simply want to minister along the lines of letting God change you. He's working in you to will and to do, we found out a few weeks ago, of His good pleasure, His desire. But there is a working in us He does that we have to cooperate with for Him to be able to change us and make that difference in our life. And so this morning we're going to talk about letting God change you. And the first aspect I want to just look at in terms of letting God change you is the fact that change is a good thing. All right? Change is a very good thing. Again, looking at our main text this morning from Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, age, fashioned after, and adopted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what we think, how we think, affects us being able to know and walk in the perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. A couple examples we can see biblically, scripturally. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. We see a church here that was conforming to the pattern of the Word of God, being transformed. Their faith was growing, changing. Their love was abounding, a thriving, growing, developing church, not just staying in the same place, going someplace. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so we can see here that there is a change, a transformation that takes place here, just in beholding the Lord. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, you realize this. You realize that when you started out serving God, you know, it took a while to kind of learn and figure out and understand some things. And even experiencing the presence of God, as you've just stuck with it and kept walking with God, you've had experiences in God. You've gone places, maybe in praise and worship, maybe just in revelation in the Word of God. But there's a growing up spiritually that takes place. And then finally, Romans chapter 1:16 puts it this way, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now that word revealed means it's uncovered, it's unveiled. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And so what does that mean? You're going to get different degrees of understanding about God's righteousness as you begin to grow spiritually. What does all of this point to? It all points to change. We should be actively, continually allowing God to change us. Now, I think something that we can appreciate in our current culture, because now a lot of us, I've been a computer programmer for many, many years, and so I understand about different, you know, computer operating systems and versions and all that kind of stuff. But now, just our general mainstream public have smartphones and different all kinds of electronic gadgets where you can learn and appreciate, you know, just the fact of just even different versions of an operating system. Okay, I've got a smartphone here, and this is an Android type of a phone, and there's different operating systems on it. The Android, this one is, I think it's called Gingerbread. All right, and then there's another one up from this one called Honeycomb, and another one up from that called Ice Cream Sandwich. All right, so they've got colorful names for these different upgrades. But what does it mean? It means that these different versions, you know, in other words, Gingerbread is kind of the lower one. Honeycomb can do stuff that Gingerbread can't do, and Ice Cream Sandwich can do things that both Honeycomb and Gingerbread can't do. Okay, but what are they? They are different versions of what you call the operating system, okay? And what they do is they continually improve the operating system. They make it more efficient. They get the bugs out of the old operating systems. And, you know that. If you've worked on a computer or software, maybe you get a new version of a software package because the old version had some problems. And so you appreciate, and we learn to grow and appreciate in our society today, upgrades, new versions of stuff. And you got to kind of think of the mind renewal as a believer as an upgrade, okay? You got to realize that you too are in a continual state of needing upgrades, right? I mean, if I was to work with, you know, version 1.0 on my computer here for the next 20 years, it would never be able to do more than what it does today. No matter how long I work with version 1.0, it can't go beyond that because it's just version 1.0. Time will not upgrade it to version 2.0. Something is going to have to change in the programming of this thing to get it to up version 2.0. Right? And sometimes we've got to realize that even with our Christianity, no matter how long we've been believing something for year after year after year, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to change the way we think. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay? This, you could say, is going to be... It's the only way this is going to go from a gingerbread to a honeycomb is being changed by the transforming of its programming. All right? And there can be different areas of our life that we have different versions. Maybe I'm running in a 8.0 when it comes to healing, but I'm just down to 2.0 in prosperity, you know? Or, you know, 5.0 when it comes to forgiveness. I've had some things. But, you know, you can have in these different areas of our life, they reflect what we've known about the Word of God and how we've been transformed in different areas of our life. And so it's important to realize that change is good. Don't think of change as, oh, I've been wrong and I got to be... No, it's an upgrade. It's just an upgrade. You're just going to get better and better, you know? The only reason the 30-fold Christian doesn't become a 60-fold Christian is because they resist the upgrade. You know, you don't start out at 100-fold. You start out at 30-fold, you get the upgrade, you go to 60-fold, you get the upgrade, you go to 100-fold, okay? That's all part of growing up spiritually. It's part of growing and developing God. So it's like, okay, change is good. This is a good thing. I need this. And I love, you know, the example that Paul puts in Romans about how the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And as you look, you know, kind of on down later, another kind of a great example in terms of kind of upgrades, if you will, is the Hebrew writer. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." That's revealed from faith to faith. "For he's a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil." So here Paul tells us right off the bat, look, this thing called righteousness, it's going to be revealed from faith to faith to faith to faith. You've got the version 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, and the Hebrew writer is frustrated. He's saying, you know, you ought to be at version 8.0, but you're still at version 1.0 right now. Okay? And the difference is whether you're willing to change and grow develop. See, time, he said, by this time, you should be at version, I'm kind of interjecting my computer lingo, you should be at version 8.0, but you see, time couldn't get him to 8.0, could it? There had to be a change. There had to be an intimate, personal vulnerability. I've been doing it this way for however many years, but time isn't going to get me to that next upgrade. I got to change the way I think. I got to humble myself under his word if I'm going to get to that next place. And as you see how faith is revealed from faith to faith, I mean, the first revelation of faith or of righteousness is the simple revelation that God loves me and he forgives my sins. Praise God. That's the milk of righteousness, is simply the love of God to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But when a person begins to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, and they take 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, all has become new. Then you're upgrading to version 2.0. Okay? You're going to the honeycomb of righteousness. And you're saying, praise God. Not only does his righteousness forgive me, but his righteousness has made me a new person, a new creation in Christ. Whether I feel new or not, I am new, and I begin to renew my mind to realize the fact I am new in Christ. So when the bad attitudes and the guilt complexes and all those stuff come at me, nope, my program kicks that out. No, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I've got backbone, I've got stability, I'm not being moved around by my emotions and feelings because I know I've been transformed. I see I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, and then as you begin to get in the Word more, you begin to realize, hey, that place of righteousness not only makes me brand new, but that place of righteousness gives me a place in the Spirit where I have authority in that righteousness to take authority over powers and principalities and push back forces of darkness in the name of Jesus. And it's not theory, it's reality. My mind is renewed to the fact I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm there. In him. It's part of my inheritance in redemption. I see it, I know it, and I have authority. There are whole denominations that are stuck in low versions. Do you understand? But as you are going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's going to take you someplace where you're going to begin to grow and develop spiritually. Now, it's a powerful thing. I mean, I can think, even in a phone like this, you know, it has, sometimes you can have a great phone with all this hardware capability, but you can't even use it because the operating system is so low. It can only take advantage of, the hardware on the phone can only take advantage of what the software is programmed to speak to. So if this phone were to have, you know, like a microphone capability in it physically, and it's there, it does have the microphone, but my operating system didn't have the programming to communicate with it, then even though I've got this great functionality in my hardware, I'm limited by my software in terms of what I can do and how I can express myself. Now take it back to our smartphone example of our being. What about our hardware? According to Ephesians 3:20, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. That's a lot of potential in there. The new creation, the Holy Ghost, imparted righteousness. We've got some amazing hardware when we got born again. But the expression of our life is limited by the operating system in our mind that's tapping into it. You know, when I got born again, I had authority over the devil immediately. I was a new creation immediately. But all I knew was God loved me and he forgave me. Well, praise God, that's great. I need to know. That's where you got to start. Babies need milk. But the hardware was there for everything else all along. I just needed to grow up, get my mind renewed, and find out what belonged to me in Christ. What can my smartphone do? So the point of what I'm saying in point number one, change is good. All right? It's not about I was right, they were wrong. Don't get into the political, all the egotistical stuff and spiritual ego of it. Hey, we're all growing up spiritually. We're all needing, no matter what version of anything you're on right now, there's an upgrade. All right? You haven't arrived. You can go on. There's more to learn. There's more to grow. And what happens when you put away the kind of the buggy thinking, the old stuff? You get that upgrade and you begin to think in line with God's Word. You begin to tap into the power of God. You begin to tap into the hardware that's been there the whole time. And God has expression. See, what happens when you get that upgrade is you begin to prove, you know, you prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. because it bears witness with your spirit. And you experience things in you that have been in there the whole time. And it's an exciting thing. So change, again, just kind of starting out here, change is a good thing. The next thing I want to just to bring out in terms of letting God change you is the fact that that change is a God thing. All right, this is something that God is going to do in you. It's something that that you know. It's not just a, like a mind over matter type thing in terms of thinking. The thoughts that we're talking about are God thoughts. Again, Romans 12:2. We're just going to kind of go back to it and kind of hammer on it and see it. Don't be conformed to this world. All right. This age fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, get upgraded by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So there's a, you know, again, an invitation for an upgrade. That's what I see when I look at Romans 12:2. There's a continual upgrade, the entire renewal of your mind, its ideals, its attitudes, staying teachable is, would be another way of saying it. Because here's the reality that we all experience on a day-to-day basis. This is Romans 7:21-23. This is the Apostle Paul. If you've read that part before, he sounds a little schizophrenic because he says, you know, when I want to do right, I do evil. You know, when I want to do the right thing, you know, it's just I do the wrong thing. And so, you know, he says, why do I do this? You know, and so he kind of comes to this conclusion. He says, so I find a rule, a law, a rule of action of my being that when I want to do what is right and good, evil is ever present with me. And I'm subject to its insistent demands. For I endorse and delight in the law of God in my inmost self, in my new nature. But I discern in my bodily members, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh, a different law, a rule of action that war against the law of my mind. There you go, and we're going to come back to that. My reason, and making me a prisoner to the law of sin that dwells in my bodily organs, in the sensitive appetites and wills of the flesh. One of the things that you find out in this Christian walk is that when it comes to being transformed by the renewing of your mind, is that there are multiple sources of input, right? And that's kind of what Romans 12 says. It says, I'm not going to be conformed to the pattern of the world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And kind of the Apostle Paul's kind of saying the same thing here. He's saying, when I want to do right, he said, I find that evil is present with me. I've got, on the inside, I delight to do the law of God. I want to do the right thing. But there is a law in my members that wars against the law of my mind. And this is where the programming takes place, isn't it? Right here. This is where your upgrade is either going to, you're either going to get your upgrade or you're not going to get your upgrade. Because as you're going to get upgraded, again, the enemy has upgrades too, or you should say downgrades. You know, he's got software though. He has got software that will put you in loops and freeze your computer and drive you crazy. He's got loops that have no resolution. You know, he's got all kinds of programming. And I've even noticed, I've had to really sit my kids down sometimes because we've downloaded viruses just unknowingly, because you'll get some of these things that'll say, antivirus software, we've detected you've got so many viruses on your computer. Do you want to fix them now? You know, it sounds like, wow, what a really nice thing to do. Satan's a liar, in case you haven't realized that. He's a liar, and those viruses are lies, are what cause you to even buy into him and get into him. He's the father of lies. And so, you know, as you're renewing your mind, you're going to have to realize that just because you've decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to love like you want me to love. I'm going to forgive like you want me to forgive. You're going to still find, when you want to do the right thing, that evil is present with you. What does that mean? You're going to be endeavoring to meditate on the Word of God, but your flesh has pop-up boxes, all right? You're going to be doing what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, pop, what about this? What about this? What about this? It's like, oh, yeah, what about that, you know? And all of a sudden, you know, you get distracted. And it's like, I want to do right, but there's this struggle. And we all have it. We all go through it. And so the upgrade that takes place is going to be when we ultimately, what it says, the scripture says, I love the language of 2 Corinthians, there it is. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, all right? But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, if you're a programmer, you realize that that computer, when it compiles your program, it doesn't cut you any slack. You can't just have like a few errors and says, well, you got 90% of it right. That's fine. We'll compile it and be good. No. Any little line of code that's wrong or that it's not assigned right, it's going to kick out and give you an error. It's going to give you a bug. You know, you can see the weapons of our warfare are powerful, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means that as I am endeavoring to get this software upgrade, praise God, that I am going to bring those pop-up boxes and close them, close them, close them, close them. No, I'm bringing them into captivity. You know, I am not going there and there and there. I'm going to stay with what the Word says, okay? And that, you know, if it's an area of the flesh, you know, overcoming or resistant to a passion of the flesh or a relationship issue or finances or whatever, I'm going to stay true to what God has said in His Word. He'll meet my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's those promises that we hold on to. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But what if that happens? Pop! God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But you give you remember that? No, pop! You know, and you're gonna be doing it. It takes a little discipline to do this in real life, doesn't it? But this is where the upgrade happens. And what you got to realize is you're not going from 1-0 to 10-0. You're just going from 1-0 to 2-0. All right. You're not solving all the world's problems. You're not getting perfected overnight. But you're just going to that next place where you're getting to that next scripture and that you're getting that next truth in your heart. All right? So what do I mean in real life going to 1-0 to 2-0? Maybe first, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7. I'll tell you one thing. I may not know much, but I know one thing. I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And you can't get that out of me. That's in my software. And any thought that comes into my mind is going to have to come into obedience to that new operating system upgrade. Okay? I don't know everything yet, but I know that. So you're just getting that next scripture in you. I used to, you know, in 1.0, I knew in version 1.0, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Man, I know that God loves me. Praise God. And that's good. And that's always the starting point. But here I know now that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And what happens is the Holy Spirit will lead you, scripture by scripture by scripture, to begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how is that transforming? When that's in me and my mind is renewed to just that simple fact, fear loses hold on me. I can think clearly. Not only has He not given me a spirit of fear, but He has given me something, a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I've got that. I've got that. And even if the enemy can poke and ask questions, what about this, this, and this? I don't have to answer his questions. For one thing, I'm not even accountable to him. I don't have to answer his questions. But I know this. God gives me the answers. And I know that as I continue to grow in Him, I'll get the answers that I need when I need them. But I'm growing. He's leading me into paths of righteousness. He's taking me from the 1.0 to the 2.0. And this is where it's important to realize that He does that by the renewing of our mind. And that every line of code, you know, it does matter, because this is what will happen. You know, the enemy will, and he'll come back and he'll test those old versions. You know, you might have had a real success and victory and praise God. It's like, woo, I'm in a great place right now. But the enemy will come back and retest that old version and still see, if you've got that operating system running, see if you're still, if you've got that in your heart or in your mind. You know, you can get into places in the Lord and you can, you know, I've heard it put it like this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith goes by not hearing and not hearing the Word of God. You can be strong in an area and you can just kind of neglect spiritual things and your faith in that area isn't strong. No problem. Pick it back up. Get strong in it again. It's amazing. Once you've gotten to a place, you can always get back there. And it's quicker even the second time. Because you've been there, you know it's there. And sometimes you let it slip and it's like, oh, he's beating me up and I know better than I've been there. Okay, here we go. I'm going to dig in and get back there. You know, it's kind of like you're getting territory. You got to get back. But just because maybe you got to a place and you're free and you kind of let it go, just get back there. Get back there. That was an encouraging word I heard a teacher tell us years ago. If you've gotten to a place in God, you can get back there. Why? Because you got there already. You've already got there once. You can get back there again in terms of your faith and belief and to where that your mind is upgraded again based on those promises of God. But again, the key right now is right here. It's when you're taking those thoughts come and they become captive. And this is also a key, we'll just say this, not only to upgrading the software in your being transformed by the renewing of your mind, but it's also key in getting control and mastering your emotions. The Lord put it to me this way once. He just said, emotions are just thoughts that have been meditated on. All right? You got a thought, and on the inside, the core is the emotion. And that you meditate the thought, and then you get to the emotion. You kind of think of it like that. You know, it can be a thought of something somebody did or something you did, and on the inside it can either be guilt or bitterness or whatever it is in there, or something that could happen, and in the core there's fear. You know, if you meditate on it, you'll eventually get to the emotion. And I've kind of thought of it, and kind of the thought that I've had was like it's like an Alka-Seltzer tablet. You know, the Alka-Seltzer tablet's like the thought. Your mind is like the water. When that Alka-Seltzer tablet comes, if you will think on it, it'll dissolve and permeate and turn into emotions. But if you get it at the Alka-Seltzer tablet level and you say, no, not letting that in here. I'm not even going there. Wimp, coward, you don't know what you're going to do. Not going there. My operating system doesn't affect it. Power, love, sound mind, not giving a spirit of fear. Nope, doesn't go there. Nope, not going there. You know, that blesses God. You know, stuff in the world and things that the way natural man thinks is not the way God thinks. And when you take those steps, you've been down that path before. You've been wise before. You've dotted all your I's and crossed all your T's and tried to protect in self-defense. You've been beat up. You've been through that, you know, through that experience. And now it's like, nope, I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to get transformed by the renewing of my mind. And so, you know, the bottom line is you are going to meditate. No matter what you are going to meditate. It's just a matter of where you're going to meditate, where you're going to set your mind. And this is where we're exhorted by the Scripture in Colossians chapter 3:1. He tells us, you know, very emphatically, he says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek an upgrade. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. He continues on later in that same chapter of Scripture. He just says, do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, that might seem like, wow, that's amazing. You know, you've put on the new man. That means you've become a new creation, and you're in the process of being renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. In other words, you're finding out, that's kind of a nice way of saying, you're finding out who you are in Christ. You're finding out what God did for you when you got born again. You're finding out about the fact that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. You're finding out the fact that he imparted righteousness into you. You're finding out the fact that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're finding out the fact that he loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're getting renewed in the knowledge of the image of him who created you. You're finding out about that new creation. You're discovering the good works that he placed on the inside of you to do. There's a work that's going on the inside of you. And so it's good at that point, just kind of getting renewed in the knowledge of him is just finding out those things that belong to you. Finding out those things that, those precious promises. Here's a scripture, Philippians 4:8. It says, for in terms of meditating and setting your mind, for the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, whatever is honorable, seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on, weigh, and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Okay? This is part of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you can see, do you see how this kind of fits? I didn't put it up there, but Psalm 1 goes like this. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted. And it's a picture of what we want. Stability. Strength. You can see that person is somebody who's upgrading. That's a person whose roots are going deep. But you see, those roots don't go deep. That stability doesn't happen in the counsel of the ungodly or the path of the sinner or the seat of the scornful. It happens as you are meditating in the Word day and night. That's when the transformation begins to happen. And I'm going to say this too, and this kind of goes hand in hand with my programming illustration. You know, being a good programmer doesn't mean that you program everything right the first time. Being a good programmer really is just being a persistent programmer. It means you just stay with it until those errors are gone. You stay with it until everything works. And in the staying with it, you learn a lot too. You learn a lot, you grow, you learn a lot about programming, different things like that. But I'll say this too, there are times when you are programming, there are times when I'm working out my salvation, being transformed by the renewing of my mind, that my computer locks up, that my mind locks up. And one of the great things when it comes to programming, when things lock up, is something called the break key. Okay? That means it's not working, I don't know why, but I can just break it. It's like a timeout, stop. And I just want you to know, too, that while you're in the process of upgrading and developing, there may be times like Paul experienced, you know, expressed, you got that battle going on, and that mind is the middle ground, and it's like, whoa, I thought that was God. We need to realize that we can also hit that break key spiritually. What is the break key spiritually when it comes to, I'll tell you what I found, it is simply praise and worship. Worshiping God. You know, there are times as you're growing and you're developing and you're learning to overcome that fear and the scripture and maybe sickness with the promise of healing, and there's things that'll happen, you don't know why. I love the psalmist had it right. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There is just something. The enemy sees this as cheating. It's not cheating. This belongs to us. I've told you the treadmill story a million times, you know, where I've been on the treadmill, frustrated and doing something, the Lord just said, just praise me. You know, I think, well, I've got to bring closure to this. No, you never have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise him. You can bless the Lord at all times. It's not cheating. In fact, it's responsible Christianity. And I've just found that too, and I'm kind of, okay. Father God, I'm just going to take some time and worship you and praise you and just get in your presence. Praise God. This is a powerful part of the upgrade process. What does the Bible say? We read the scripture earlier. It says, as we behold him, we're changed from glory to glory. There's a place where the Lord knows we don't know that next scripture that we maybe know we need, but when we'll just turn to him, the author and the finisher, the upgrader of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're turning, looking full into his wonderful face. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you that you love me, that you're for me. There's stuff I don't see now. There's stuff I don't know now. I'm not shaking a fist in your face, but I'm just worshiping you. I'm blessing you at all times. And I just cast the care of it over on you. I let my request be made known unto you about it. Help me. Definite request. And I do it with thanksgiving. And I thank you that the peace of God that passes my heart, that passes my understanding at the moment, will keep my heart and mind in Christ Jesus until I do understand, until I do know. But while it's an important point to make, while we're upgrading, praise often. Praise often. Get in the presence. I've been in the place where I've just been in the presence of the Lord, and I've come out of the presence of the Lord, and it's not like I even know mentally, or my theology's changed, but I'm strengthened on the inside. And there's a peace, and there's a strength, and it's, whew, you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God can do stuff in you just when you get in His presence. So we're talking about change. It's a God thing. I love a song that came out a number of years ago because I think it ties in well theology, doctrine, the Word of God with the change that actually takes place on the inside of us. It's not about worshiping theology or doctrine, but realizing the Word of God, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's living, it's alive, and when it gets in me, when I'm being transformed by those thoughts, it's changing me. It goes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. I believe in the resurrection. I believe in a life that never ends. And I believe what I believe. It is what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. And I love it. I believe it. It is what makes me what I am. I didn't make it. No, it is making me. And that's what you find out when your theology, what you believe about God, becomes alive in your life and heart. It transforms you. It changes you. It's not that your theology even necessarily changes. It's just that what you believe gets in your mind and it to where it affects your everyday life. You know, it's not just, this is what I believe and I'm going through life defending why I'm right and they're wrong. No, it's I'm allowing what I believe. You know, it's a difference. My theology could cause me to believe that I have a shield of faith. I can believe in the shield of faith. I can quote the scriptures. But unless I take that shield of faith and lift it up, I won't quench any fiery darts of the devil. You understand? I can be full of fiery darts believing in the shield of faith. But when I get transformed by the renewing of my mind, that's when I say, no, it is written. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that's when the darts are diffused. But there's a transforming. We can't be proud of our theology. We've got to allow that at the every thought captive level belief to begin to transform us and change us. So what we're saying, that change is a God thing. And this is when it's really cool. When you begin to lift that shield of faith and all of a sudden that old fear thought doesn't even penetrate you. And you're happy. And it's like, wow, praise God, I can do this. I can do this. You'll get excited because it's real. It's true. Again, these are real places, you know, in the Spirit. He said, man, by this time you ought to be over here. You can get over there. You know, where that stuff is real. You can be, you know, where you can have the meat of the Word of God working in your life. And then finally, I'm just going to simply say, change is a choice. All right, we've seen that time will not get you from version 1 to version 2. There's going to have to be a change, an intentional change in the way you think. And again, we're going to go back to the very first verse here in our passage here, Romans 12:1. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you. You can see the passion Paul has here. Beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. But you see that? Make a decisive dedication, presenting. In other words, God isn't going to do this for you. He will give you the exceeding great and precious promises, but He won't renew your mind with them for you. He'll work with you as you begin to set your mind on them, but we have a part to play. We have a part to play in the renewing of our mind. And this, again, is kind of where the humility comes in. We've got to say, man, you know, where am I looking to for direction in my life? You know, thank God for people and godly examples and different things like that. But at the end of the day, I better know where in the Word I'm believing what I'm believing. I better be able to know, because this is the rock that is higher than I. This is the authority that can push back the powers of darkness. And this has the discerning ability in it that when it gets in me, allows me to see through things. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is attacked by the devil, and He says, it is written. How much more ought the Word of God be our same authority? And when we're talking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're not talking about brainwashing, okay? You know, there are cultic practices of brainwashing, which will include imposing fear or guilt, isolation, finger pointing, sleep deprivation, imposing fatigue, peer or group pressure, love bombing, removal of privacy and verbal abuse. These are different ways that groups and cultic groups try to weaken a person's mind. All right? When we're talking about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're not talking about any weird control, manipulation, mind-weakening thing. In fact, the only premise and basis that God will do it is if you will fully, voluntarily take of your own time and effort and invest in the Word of God. It's not a controlling thing. It's you willingly laying down. Jesus put it beautifully. He said, "He who seeks to save his life will lose it. But he who lays down his life for my sake will find it." You know, if you seek to save your life, it's like you're holding on to version 1.0. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to change the way I think. It'd be like going to, you know, Walmart and seeing a 50-year-old man on a carousel going round and round with a real serious look on his face. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd think, you know, he really should be riding the Sasquatch in Disneyland or something by now. But you know, when it comes to that growing, that going from faith to faith, you've got to realize it's you laying down your life. What is it? Laying down your life that you might find it. It's laying down the old way of thinking that you can find the new upgraded way of God's thinking and tap into more of who you are in Christ. There's the dying, the laying down, and then the discovery. You know, it's already in you. Nobody in here needs a hardware upgrade, nor will ever need a hardware upgrade. It's pretty amazing to think about. The only thing that hinders us from where we're at now to unleashing what's on the inside is the renewing of our mind, being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as we do it, praise God, we begin to experience and tap in to the power of God that's on the inside of us. And then I think really one of the great examples here, the Apostle Paul himself, he says, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind." In other words, the Apostle Paul said, "I've got more upgrades." This is the guy who God used to write the Bible. He said, "I need some more upgrades. I'm not at the final version yet." It really helps keep things in perspective, I think, for all of us to realize that, you know what? I mean, I got to change, I got to learn, I got to grow. Yeah. If you want to get to the next version, if you want to stay where you are, if you want to stay on the Walmart carousel, you can. But if you really want to go on and really begin to change and grow and to develop, you need to change. Yes, it's humbling to change the way you think. Yes, it's humbling, but it's where growth happens. It's where you begin to experience God. That's why Paul was like, "I beg you by the mercies of God, be transformed." It's like this passionate plea. It's okay. It's right. It's good. You know, when I get up here on a Sunday morning even, and I can preach a message on a certain area, it really, even like this time right now, doesn't necessarily constitute being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, I could preach a message on healing. I could preach a message on deliverance from fear. And really what it is, it's advertising for an upgrade. The upgrade happens when you go from here and you begin to meditate on those truths for yourself. And they become on the inside of you. And at the every thought level, when you're driving your car, when you're at home, that you begin to reprogram. That's when the renewal happens. That's what Jesus said. He said, "If you are my disciples," he said, "continue in my word." He said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." It's that continuing in the Word that causes the mind renewal and the transformation that sets free. You know, and I remember just before I was ever a preacher, the Lord exhorted me. He said, "Ed, you know, you can hear the Word on the preacher's time, but you have to continue in the Word on your time." And I began to see it. I go to a service, "Wow, that's cool, that's right, that's good, that's good." But it's like advertising. But if you're going to be really free, it's when you begin to, on your own time, investing your own. You know, we all have our to-do lists, but this is where the pleading and the begging comes in. There will be a transformation when you sow to the Spirit in this area and you begin to allow the Word of God to penetrate your mind and your heart. And finally, I like this kind of final exhortation. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So it's a good thing. It's wisdom to receive instruction. You can go from the 1.0 to the 2.0. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. In other words, really smart people stay teachable. And that's what you saw in the Apostle Paul right here. He, writing the Bible, said, I haven't come. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And that's the attitude that we all have to have as it relates to change. So letting God change you. Change is a good thing. It's what gets us from version to version to version. And especially if you feel frustrated because certain things in your life haven't seemed to change but have stayed the same, maybe there's an upgrade that you're able to enjoy that can affect and be a part of that change for your life. So realize it. Be inspired by it. It's a good thing. It's a God thing. It's something where the Word of God, it is living and powerful. You know, I'm just doing my part of setting my mind on the Word of God. But that powerful spiritual work where God does the transforming. You know, I'm meditating on the Word of God, but the transforming part of it is God's stuff that's happening on the inside of me. And I just know by faith that it is. When God's Word becomes real to me, and the old thoughts of the fear and the doubt and the hatred and all that, they just lose their access and influence in my life, and I'm able to stay focused on God and keep going from glory to glory because of what He's doing in me. Finally, change is a choice. It's something that we have a part to play. God isn't going to just zap me from version 1.0 to 10.0. It'd be nice, right? But He zapped my inside and gave me an amazing hardware structure through which He can do everything above all I could ask or even think, according to the hardware that works in me. But it's going to be that software upgrade in my mind that is going to determine what I can express and tap into and live out. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You that it is Your will, Your desire, Your plan for us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Lord, that change is a good thing. Help us to not resist, Lord, those promptings of the Holy Spirit for change in our life, Lord. We know that those promptings are a good thing. We know that You are creating us, forming us into Your image, Lord. Help us to yield to every change, to every desire, to every plan. And Father God, we just also purpose that, you know, as we're setting our mind on You, that we are going to choose the Spirit. We're going to close the fleshly pop-up boxes. We're going to bring into captivity the obedience and bring into obedience every thought into obedience to Christ. Father, that we are going to allow our mind and our heart to be changed. And Father God, I just come before You right now, and I just pray, Lord, Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of You, just flow in this place right now in a wonderful way. I pray, Lord, that people would see this is an inspiring opportunity to grow. It's an inspiring opportunity to tap in to what You've already done on the inside of us, Lord. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to change. I want to humble myself. I want to humble the way I think. I want to humble the way I talk. I want to come in line with Your Word, to be renewed in my thinking, in my speaking, according to Your Word. As I do my part, You do Your part. You transform me. You strengthen me. You cause me to access areas of my spirit, areas of Your Spirit by Your Word. I just think the way You think. I don't think the way I used to think. I'm changed. This change is good. I have a part to play. And I declare today that I will do it. I'll sow to the Spirit. I'll continue in Your Word. I will prove You faithful, just, powerful, and greater than he that is in this world. Lord Jesus, today is my day, the day I call on Your name. come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart you died on the cross for my sins. That God raised you up again. And I receive you now as my Lord, as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.